Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
My tastes are very singular. You wouldn't understand.
Hi, I'm Rachel Hampton.
And I'm Madison Malone Kircher. You're listening to ICYMI.
In case you missed it.
Slate's podcast about internet culture.
How are you doing today, Madison?
Honestly, I'm doing better than T-Pain.
Oh, God. I think we all are.
That's true. But specifically, I'm doing better than T-Pain because I have not been ignoring DMs, direct messages from other celebrities for like years.
Just the tragedy of the weekend.
T-Pain posted this video last week that he discovered that he just had been ignoring messages from like very famous people.
Yeah.
I was today years old when I found out about the request folder on Instagram that's full of celebs trying to reach me. Dude, is that Fergie? SMH.
In the video, it's T-Pain's DMs just scrolling, name after name after name, Diplo, Fergie.
Viola Davis?
Yeah.
Who I would simply launch myself off of a cliff had I missed a DM from Viola Davis.
And T-Pain's face is green screened over this, and he's just like shaking his head and sighing so deeply.
I apologize to everybody on this list and the hundreds of others I couldn't fit in this video.
We are all sighing along with you, T-Pain.
But unlike T-Pain, we here at ICYMI check our DMs and our emails and our mentions. So today we're launching a new segment called Red Receipts.
I want to see the receipts.
Wait, Madison. No, it's read receipts. It's pronounced read receipts.
No, the thing that shows the timestamp when somebody
reads
your text message or DM, yeah, that's a red receipt.
Because they're reading it.
Receipts. They have read it. We'll debate this later, but anyway. The segment, it's new. It's called Red Receipts. Maybe read receipts. Depending on which host you ask. We've been getting some really, truly great and thoughtful messages from all of you who are listening to our show, and we wanted to take an episode to address some of them. So today we'll be talking about the drama currently embroiling the fanfiction website Archive of Our Own, submitted by listener Liv, who you'll hear from later on in the episode.
But before we get to Liv's question, another member of the ICYMI community had a question about a meme, and I'm just going to read this email in its entirety. Hello, period. Can you address the this shit bussin' ... sheesh meme? Then there's a YouTube link to a compilation of this. Thanks, period. Kolyan. Address this, Kolyan. Thank you.
We would love to address this meme. Okay, so I think where we begin, and Rachel, I'm sorry because I know you hate when I show you cursed things on this show, but I think we start with this TikTok I watched the other night and was just horrified by.
Today for lunch, I'm packing my boyfriend another bell pepper sandwich.
Yep. Welcome to Bussin' or Not, where I try this recipe so you don't have to.
Let's do some cooking.
Her voice sounds like a cartoon character.
It's this little old lady who's just out here trying cooking recipes and declaring them.
The crunch of the pepper is really bussin'. Certified bussin'.
You can't see the horror in my face, but just absolutely not.
But I can. Like a cartoon character, Rachel's eyeballs just left their sockets and went like, "Ooga!" and then came back into her head.
Except it was not in joy or like
horniness.
Love or ardor. No, it was in my eyes wish to leave my skull because I'm upset that I have been shown this meme.
So the bussin on TikTok is a layered meme at this point. Just you laugh. You get one laugh. I'm going to have to say it, Rachel. It's the topic. I know what I sound like. Know what I sound like.
Okay. Okay. That's the last one. It's not, but that's the last one.
So this little old lady is making a sandwich where the bun is a pepper.
That's not a sandwich.
I agree. That's a hand salad. And the hand salad in question was made by a woman named Janelle, who is this white woman on TikTok who is always posting keto recipes and declaring them bussin' or not.
Well, wasn't it started with, like, Janelle didn't know what bussin' was. But people kept posting, like, duets or stitches with Janelle because she would make these meals that did not look good. And that became, if you search Is It Bussin' Janelle on TikTok, there are so many videos that are involved in this. So this is one layer of the bussin' onion sandwich hand salad thing. What's the second layer, Madison?
So the other element here we have to explain is the sheesh, which I'm not going to give Rachel the joy of hearing me explain because I found a TikTok from user Ivor_ZNZ, which sums it up perfectly.
Explaining things so you don't have to Google about it. Sheesh. So what does this mean? This means ice in the vein, and it all started by the NBA star D'Angelo Russell. It's often used by the NBA star during the final minutes of the basketball match when the game is on the line, and once the ball went in, after the clutch moment under pressure, he gotta keep it cool, cold-blooded, therefore ice in the vein. And this post has evolved on TikTok, adding a face like, and a shee. It works best if you do it in harmony. And what does shees mean? It's actually the same thing as saying wow when you get excited or surprised over something, like sheesh. You're welcome.
So when she's talking about ice in your veins, you take, let's stretch out your left arm, take your right hand, your pointer and your index finger, and tap it to like the inside of your elbow, like someone is injecting you with ice.
And this is part of the bussin' sheesh meme. We have not quite explained all of it, but as most memes on the internet, this started with Black people. D'Angelo Russell, a Black basketball player. Bussin' is in fact A-V-E. It basically means very good. This shit bussin' could translate in the Queen's English to this item is impeccable.
Pip, pip, cheerio. So the meme that our listener asked about is a specific mashup of these two slang terms. And it goes a little something like this. You need a captive set of boomers, ideally your parents.
Go out in the wild, capture two boomers. First step.
Step one. Number two, you then hand a boomer or an older person some food and ask them how it tastes. And then they reply, describing it as
bussin. Oh, bussin. Sorry. I didn't realize. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yes.
And then followed by a loud sheesh. It sounds a little something like this.
Hey, yo, mom, how's the lasagna?
This shit bussin, respectfully.
No!
So the kind of like joy of this meme is that most of these boomers are not Black. And then just hearing this suburban archetypical mom say, this shit bussin', combined with hearing their offspring in the background either cracking up or angry because they're saying like busting instead of bussing, is the kind of like tension that makes this meme soar.
To our listener who asked us this wonderful question, I really hope that answered it for you.
If not, we're so sorry. We tried our best. Coming up, we've got another read receipt. This one's about one of my favorite topics, fan fiction, specifically the beloved fan fiction website AO3, which stands for Archive of Our Own. It's maybe one of the most influential fandom spaces on the internet, and right now it's facing a major reckoning around the way it's run and funded.
We'll have more on that after the break.
The new Starz series, Mary and George, starring Julianne Moore and Nicholas Galitzine, tells a story almost too outrageous to be true. But shockingly, it is. With next to nothing to her name and looking to elevate her social standing, Mary Villiers sets her handsome and charming son, George, on the path to seduce King James I and become his all-powerful lover. Trust me, you've never seen a mother-son duo like this before. The show is full of wit, scandal, action, and did I mention Julianne Moore? Something this audacious and sexy as genre-bending as it gets. You won't be able to look away. Watch the season premiere of Mary and George now, only on Starz and the Starz app.
Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card? With 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
And we're back with our second red receipt. I actually think we have a voicemail from listener Liv who has a question about AO3.
Hi. So I logged into Tumblr for the first time in about 8 years the other day. I thought it would be a fun trip down memory lane, but it turns out that people are really mad, and they're specifically mad at this website, Archive of Our Own, which I remember as hosting a lot of Harry Potter fan fiction that I would read when I was 12, but people are really mad at it now, and it seems like, I don't know, they're mad because it's like raising money as a scam, maybe, to host questionable content. I couldn't really figure out what was actually going on. So if you could tell me, what is going on with Archive of Our Own and why are people so angry at it? Thank you.
Okay, A, I would just like to say, Liv, you have an amazing voice. B, I'm fully convinced you sent this question in specifically for me. Thank you so much.
I think Liv, like, if I researched her, would turn out to be, like, your college roommate. Or, like, this story was planted by Rachel to be a perfect, like, if you were to draw a Venn diagram of Rachel's interests, the middle section is this ask.
But it's not just a big deal to me. I would just like to say that.
That is true. Fanfiction has long been a space for women and queer people and people of color. You know, all groups of people who don't really get their fair share of representation in source material. Franchises that started out as fanfic, like 50 Shades of Grey and After, which is Harry Styles fanfiction.
Yes.
These are incredibly influential and lucrative enterprises. It is certainly not just 12-year-olds reading Harry Potter slash, though I was that 12-year-old.
Oh, same. I mean, I'm going to go ahead and out myself as someone who, like, still consumes fan fiction pretty regularly.
I would be lying if I said that's also me, but, like, I was a closeted gay kid on the internet in the early aughts. Like, I've read my fair share.
As most people should, to be completely honest. Not least because, again, as Madison said, it's incredibly lucrative. It was only a few episodes ago they were talking about the ways that 50 Shades of Grey changed the way we talk about kink. And it also changed the way we talk about fan fiction. In case you somehow missed it, 50 Shades of Grey started as a Twilight fan fiction. Originally, Christian Grey and Anastasia Steele were Edward Cullen and Bella Swan. But the funny thing about 50 Shades of Grey is that it was actually originally hosted on fanfiction.net. But she ended up having to move it to a separate website because of the extreme sexual content involved in that story.
And she basically just made a blog.
Yeah, I believe it was called 50shades.com. Before Archive of Our Own was founded in 2009, the most popular fanfiction websites were fanfiction.net or LiveJournal or Wattpad. But the difference between Archive of Our Own and all these other websites is that it was created because fanfiction writers were getting DMCA complaints or author takedown requests or copyright issues or just plain sexual content issues. And so In 2009, a nonprofit was created called the Organization for Transformative Works, and it was and remains like fan-created and fan-run, and it was like created largely in response to fan fiction websites that were run by these huge corporations who wanted to profit off the huge audience that fan fiction like creates, but they wanted absolutely none of the smoke that came along with hosting these works.
So was it the kind of thing where like you'd like develop an audience, people would be really like digging what you were writing, and then one morning you could wake up and it would just be taken down?
Yeah, that happened to a lot of people because a lot of these websites that fanfiction was previously hosted by were run by major corporations that had like a legal liability or just didn't want to be hosting like sexually explicit content. And so it became this kind of game of trying to figure out whether or not your content was going to get taken down. And so Archive of Our Own was created specifically to basically be able to write whatever the fuck you want. The formal pledge is to preserving the history of fanworks and fan culture in its myriad forms. We believe that fanworks are transformative and that transformative works are legitimate. And that word transformative is actually really important because it is kind of what copyright law turns on. And so theoretically, everything on Archive of Our Own is considered transformative work.
That all sounds really great. I feel like AO3 is a website I'm always surprised is still up and running. How do they keep the lights on?
That's a good question. I mean, usually the point of websites like this is to eventually get bought by a huge corporation. But AO3 is still reader funded, which is like really huge. So every year they kind of do this donation drive. And that means that authors don't have to worry about like Yahoo coming in and deciding to take down everything. And they kind of provide a level of legal protection that other hosting websites don't even want to attempt.
See, this is all really cool and positive and kind of where I'd like to end the movie. because I feel like the butt. You're about to give me the butt.
I'm about to give you a butt. There's always a butt. So much of what makes AO3 what it is that it's this kind of grassroots community. But it's the fact that it's grassroots, and it's also the fact that it is an incredibly permissive website. And it is largely volunteer-run, which means what always happens on any volunteer-run website that is incredibly permissive. There are things on AO3 that could be described as unsavory, which kind of brings us to the present. Up until very recently, AO3's content moderation policy has largely been do whatever the fuck you want, even though users have asked for stronger moderation tools, mostly involving the tagging system.
Okay, when you say tagging system,
it's kind of deceptively simple in how amazing it is, but AO3's tagging system has actually been widely lauded for how well it organizes information. You can curate your experience on AO3 so strongly, like you can tag PWP, which means porn without plot. There are tags that are purely for organizing, so that means that you can just click on that tag and find whatever you're looking for under there. And then there are tags that are kind of just like expressions of authors' personality. There's a really popular one that's funny to me that's called No Beta, We Die Like Men. Which means that there's no beta reader. And beta readers are people who are kind of like editors. And it's usually a friend you have in the community. And they read through your story and check for like typos or like plot. And it's this all community run support network. So that when you read a fan fiction, it's not just someone just straight publishing it. Like it has been beta'd by a lot of different people.
Oh my God, that's so lovely. I thought that was going to be some sort of like toxic masculinity alpha male thing. No, I love that.
Exactly.
Editorial oversight?
No, exactly. But when it says no beta, we die like men, it means they just didn't get a beta. So it's just like, if there's typos, don't be mad at me. Or it'll be like, I posted this at 3 a.m. after 4 monsters. Or like something like along those lines. And so the tagging system is both really useful and a really good reflection of personality. But there's kind of no way to block seeing certain things in tags.
Yeah, here's the butt. We've arrived.
Here's the butt. So this came up a lot last summer when the United States was going through a racial reckoning following the murder of George Floyd. Black fans and creators who had long been pushing for content moderation policies kind of upped their calls they weren't even necessarily asking for AO3 to get rid of it. They were just like, can there be a way to tag things as containing racist content so that when I'm searching for like Remus Lupin's Sirius Black slash fiction, I'm not going to run into something racist, because there are certain tags that will show content. So example, there's one that's like major character death. So you can exclude that from your search if you don't want to read anything that involves somebody dying or a major character dying. But there was literally no way to do that with like racist content. I do want to make clear that there are ways you can filter what you're looking for and you can filter out certain tags, but that system is only as good as whatever user makes it. So if your user does not say racism in here, there is no way to know that it's in there until you click on it. But what people on AO3 have long asked for is an ability to like scroll through a tag and like block a certain user so you don't see their content. You cannot do that. And for the longest time, it was framed as this free speech issue. I really want to importantly say here that like a lot of these a lot of these fans who were using AO3 were not even necessarily asking for AO3 to not host this content. They were just asking for a way to not see it.
They just wanted to do like personalized shadow banning, it sounds like. Yes. You're describing.
Yes. But it was always kind of framed as this free speech issue because at its core, AO3 is fundamentally like a free speech platform that thinks that the best kind of route forward is to be as permissive as you possibly can. And so the complaints about the racism, of course, didn't change AO3's mind. But what did is this absolutely fucking wild fan fiction that has over 1 million words and, most importantly, 1,700 tags, which is visually and organizationally a nightmare and has fucked up this amazing tagging system that AO3 has. We unfortunately do not have the time to go into that entire thing, but if you want to find out about it, you should check out this piece from Adria Romano at Vox. We'll link it in the show notes. It's such a great piece and also just such a wild piece of internet drama. But now that this thing has happened that is not necessarily related to like racism, but just an annoying user experience, AO3 is considering adding in a feature where you can block users from like from your experience.
Wow, raise your hand if you're not surprised.
I mean, this entire thing kind of brings us to the other issue, which is one of the issues, which is the issue that Liv actually brought to us.
Wait,
which
I'm sorry. All of that drama was not the issue?
Oh,
at
no.
Hand?
No, of course not. What are you talking about?
God, I love the internet.
It's just, it never ends. The other issue is because AO3 is reader funded, every year they do their donation drive, they just get shit on for asking for money. It's honestly like a pretty common controversy. Like it happens with Wikipedia.
I was going to say, when you say donation drive, you mean like I feel like the thing with Wikipedia is I feel like it's 12 months of the year when I know it is a limited time of the year when you like log onto a Wikipedia page and there's that banner at the top that says, if everybody gave $20,
yes,
we could run Wikipedia until the earth melts down, probably yes. Longer.
Yeah. And so AO3 does that, but they don't need to keep that going for too long. Like I think every year they raise all the money they need in like 24 hours. Mm-hmm. But then every year people get mad that they need money and they think that the fundraising is a scam, which is just wrong for a lot of reasons. There was this, someone on Twitter said, if you constantly need money to keep a website running, maybe you shouldn't have that website, just saying. And I just, do you understand how websites work? Like AO3 is free and has no ads. They have to cover operational costs. Just the sheer amount of money it takes to keep that website just up and running from like a server perspective,
right,
is going to be
like,
expensive.
This thing draws lots of clicks and lots of eyeballs. Like it is expensive to build something that works at scale. Mm-hmm. My question about the money is then why isn't it paying for moderation?
That's a good question, Madison, and only AO3 can answer that because, I mean, they have largely been run not only by volunteer moderators, but volunteer coders. Like, this website is, like, entirely just funded by the sheer passion of fans, which God love them. But also, if you are donating to AO3, are you donating to a website that hosts child porn? And the answer is, yeah, kind of.
I mean, that's murky, right, when you talk about textual fiction.
Yeah, technically in the United States of America, text child porn is not illegal. Because you have underage users on AO3. And so it gets into a dicey territory, or if you're writing about two underage characters. So there's never going to be a way, I think, to completely get rid of what is like explicitly bad child porn. And to be clear, I've been using AO3 for like, I think, upwards of like 10 years at this point, and have never run into, like, you have to go searching for like actively bad, like abuse level stuff.
Mm-hmm. So it's the like moral hand-wringing that I think Liv was describing on Tumblr is like a little overhyped compared to the
actual valid concerns of like, you should be able to curate like not seeing like racist stuff on AO3.
Rachel, first of all, I feel like you could teach a college class about fan fiction and I would be the first person to sign up. But speaking more broadly, like, these questions matter because the stuff that gets really big on these platforms is informing like big time franchises. I'm thinking about, so Anna Todd, the woman who wrote After, I interviewed her years ago and she told me she mostly wrote it on her phone standing in line at like Target.
Are her thumbs okay? Like, my thumbs hurt after scrolling
on
Twitter.
Probably she can buy new thumbs. She can buy sets of new thumbs.
Right.
Like, this thing, you know, sold a gajillion copies, it's a trilogy, the films?
Yes. Not only is Hollywood taking its cues from fan fiction, but publishing is. I personally know of, I think, at least 3 fan fictions that I've read that have gotten picked up by publishers just from being on AO3. And so the question of what's happening on AO3 and what kind of content is being hosted on AO3 and what users are being prioritized on AO3 is not just important because fan fiction itself is important, which, to be clear, it is, but also because other million-dollar industries are taking their cues from what's being hosted on this website.
I think that ties back really nicely to Liv's original question, that it is still absolutely okay to be an AO3 frequenter. I know it's stylized letter A, letter O, numeral 3, but in my head it's AOO, and you go, AO!
Okay, Madison.
Look, it's been a long day. But it's totally, you know, you're not engaging with some nefarious platform. You can disregard the tweets that were panicking about what exactly your money's going to. But also, it's always a good idea to interrogate where your money's going and what it's paying for. All right, that's the show. We'll be back in your feed on Saturday, so please subscribe. The show is free, and it's the best way to make sure you never miss an episode. If you can, leave us a rating and review in Apple Podcasts. Tell your friends about us if you wanted to, like, buy a Skywriter, commission a Skywriter. Either way, that would be fun. And if you do it, send us pictures. we'd love to see.
In the meantime, though, please continue to email us and tweet at us and send us DMs on Instagram or Twitter. We do check our DM requests. And as you can see, we do read your receipts.
We read them.
We are going to continue to read them.
If you're going to tweet at us, the hashtag is #ICYMIPod. And by email, we are icymi@slate.com. You can help us settle the debate once and for all. Is it red or is it read?
ICYMI is produced by Daniel Schrader. Our supervising producer is Derek John. Forrest Wickman is Slate's culture editor, and Gabe Broth is editorial director of audio. See you online.
Or not. Sheesh!
Sheesh!
Baby, you light up my world like nobody else, the way that you...
I feel like you could have picked a better One Direction song, but okay.
I panicked.